show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn Baseball Prospectus Affiliate. Folks, that's about the best I can do. That's about the most excitement I can muster for Royals baseball at this current juncture in time. But before we really get into why that's the case, our introductions, I am Jeff Herr, of course. With me, as always, the sometimes down but never out, Michael Engel. On this sweltering Midwestern evening, how are you doing?
It took like 40 minutes for me to drive home. It's usually a 15-minute drive. I don't know what the deal was with traffic. But yeah, you're right. It's like 100 degrees. Air conditioner in my car needs fixed. The Royals got clobbered. Yeah. It's not the best Wednesday, I would say. Other than that, though, totally fine.
Other than that, how was the play?
Right.
But anyway, that sounds awful, man. 45-minute drive home in a car with no air conditioning?
Yeah, I thought I was taking a shortcut. I think everybody else in Lawrence had the same idea. There seemed to also be like a wreck somewhere, so I think just things got diverted. It was just a lot. It was just a lot of things happening. So it goes.
So it goes. Well, I guess we can just dive right in here. The Royals, they'd been kind of just hanging out, kind of, for lack of a better term. That's kind of what it felt like. They've just, hadn't gone on one of those big streaks yet, winning or losing, and just kind of were sitting there doing what they were doing. And they've been mostly the same, but it looks like they're. If I had to make a call as of right now, I'd be that they were skewing more towards a losing streak than a possible winning one. They've lost, four of their last six now? Is that right?
Yeah.
Two out of three to Detroit they lost, and now two out of three to Cleveland.
Yep.
As they head off to the White House to commemorate winning last year's World Series, wondering if they're even going to have a chance at the playoffs this year. And I don't know the answer to that question. Right now it's looking pretty grim and pretty slim in terms of their chances. They sit at 47-47. Nine games back of the of Cleveland and four or five games out of the wild card. I mean, it's a tough spot to be in. They're not, their pitching isn't doing that well right now. Their offense isn't doing that well. Kendrys Morales has cooled off. Eric Hosmer seems to be in one of his prolonged middling funks that we were hoping he was over. I mean, I suppose if there's a bright spot with Eric Hosmer somewhat, you could say that it's that he, right now, normally in the past few seasons when he's had his downturns, it's been really, really bad, and now it's just kind of bad. So I suppose that's a step in the right direction. If your highs are higher and your lows are higher, then you're doing the right things, I suppose. But he's still above 300 as a batting average, but he hasn't hit a home run in what seems like a long time, and the power is just not there, just from the team as a whole. And you've got Alex Gordon, who I believe has dipped below 200 now on the season. And it's hard to truly judge that with any sort of a discerning eye, because the injury that he had that he's come back from is so incredibly difficult to come back from and to come back and have some power and be successful with it. So you knew it was going to take him a little while to get back into the swing of things, but he seems to only be getting worse actually since coming back from the injury. So, I mean, it's just – it's nothing's going right for the Royals. Ian Kennedy pitched today and just had an awful, awful game. And, you know, it's – I don't know. I mean, they're – the when you look at this team, Mike, cheer me up. What are the bright spots right now?
Well, you know, when they came out of the break, they got four good starts or decent starts from each of their primary starters. So Volquez had a good start. Ventura had a pretty good start. Duffy didn't have a great start, but he you know, it was pretty much what the worst he does anymore could end up being. And you know, like four runs in six plus innings. Kennedy didn't throw a lot of innings in his start before this one, but he held them. And the Royals were in position to have two very winnable games in Detroit, and things just fell apart. You know, they only scored two runs in each of the losses in Detroit. That's not going to help, you know, anybody. It's going to be very difficult to win games with only two runs. So, you know, the rotation up until last night and this afternoon, they looked like they were maybe going to be riding the ship. At least, you know, we've talked about it a lot. If they can just be average, if they can just be competent and decent guys, you know, as a group, you can get by with that, especially with the Royals bullpen. But, you know, today Kennedy got shelled, and you know, last night Brian Flynn made a spot start, and he did so well that they're going to skip the number five spot in the rotation next time it comes around. They're still, you know, I think they're like 7-18 when that spot in the rotation pitches this year. You know, even doesn't matter who it is, Flynn, Chris Young, Dylan G, Chris Medlin, doesn't matter. It's just been bad. That's not very cheerful. I'm doing a poor job of cheering you up here.
Very poor.
Very poor. Chesler Cuthbert's hitting well. Really, that's true. He's the only guy who's really doing much of anything right now. Maybe Gerard Dyson could be included in that, but
I believe Paolo Orlando is hitting something like 370 with runners in scoring position. So there's
that.
Positive. We're on the positive train now.
Yeah, but it's just been a weird season where, you know, early in the year Hosmer and Moustakas were hot, and then they were the only people who were doing anything. And then Kane got hot for a little bit. Perez got hot for a little bit. But with the Royals, they've had maybe one stretch where more than two or three players were really hot at the same time. And some of that, I think, is probably the injuries. You know, you lose Moustakas and Gordon, you lose Kane. Morales hasn't been healthy all season long. You know, he's just little things, a back tweak, a finger, foul the ball off his foot, you know, the other night. Just all those little things. You're working on second string guys in a lot of positions. And a lot of things are catching up to him. I mean, Eric Hosmer looked like he was a world beater for a while, and then he's gone on this power outage, and he's still hitting around 300, but it's mostly singles. And, you know, that's great, but when you expect that guy to be a 20, 25 home run guy, that's difficult to keep up with anybody else in the league. Alex Gordon is, I don't know what the issue is with him. It seemed all year, and from the beginning of the year, he's been striking out so much. It seems like he's just not seeing the ball well to me. And, you know,
his swing, if I may put on my amateur scout hat here,
yeah,
he's always had a long swing. Mm-hmm. But he's been so good at being able to get his timing down that he's been able to make up for it. But now, as you mentioned, it seems like he's not seeing the ball. His timing is off, and that long swing, it looks really long.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically pitchers are just killing him inside. And, you know, he's shown that he's not able to get around on stuff, and he's, you know, having issues with breaking stuff when he tries to cheat on the hard stuff. It's just like nothing's working out for him, and you know, Morales has cooled off. Perez has been okay at times. It's just really tough. I mean, nobody's getting it together at the same time, And even when you do get a breakout like a Whit Merrifield or a Brett Eibner or Chesler Cuthbert, there's nobody else around them really doing much. And you can't really build on it. And it's kind of difficult to get any kind of a rhythm offensively when you've got one guy getting on base all the time and nothing else comes of it. And so on top of the other issues, starting pitching and things like that, it's tough. They're kind of lucky to be at 500 at this stage, but you also can see spots where they could be so much better, and the Royals have always kind of outperformed what some of those projections are, but this year it's just not happening. It's they're inconsistent. It's difficult to get all the players on the same page at the same time, and it seems like when they're not hitting, that's when they need to be hitting, and at other times, they have those weird 10-7 games. I don't know. There's just a lot going wrong, and when things go right, it still ends up where something doesn't work out. Like, okay, you got a good start, but you only scored 2 runs. So 3 runs beat you. And it's tough to keep that up all season long. And I think they're just bogged down in it right now.
Well, there was the game, they lost today 11-4. And this is July 20th for a frame of reference here. But, the previous game, July 19th, against Cleveland, they lost 7-3. But it was a game, you looked at it, if you watched it, you really thought that it kind of felt like a game the 2015 Royals would have pulled out, would have been able to win. I mean, they had multiple situations where they had guys on base with, one out or something like that, situations where they could theoretically make some noise, and they weren't able to do it. And so it was like, they just kept coming up short. And it's kind of been the feeling of the whole season, seemingly, where you look at them, a lot of situations, and man, the 2015 Royals would have won that game. You just feel that way. And so there, there definitely feels like there's something different about this team. And it's like you said, that it's been so hard for them to get everyone on the same page, get everyone together. And, the result is an inconsistent team that's 500 right now. And when you look at it, I don't know. I don't know that they deserve to be any better. And you could argue that they might even be outperforming where they should be record-wise, mm-hmm. because of the amount of runs they've given up and just their inconsistent poor play that's sometimes stretched for multiple games at a time.
Yeah, so it's I don't know. It's just, it's tough. It's so, you see the last 2 years where they do so much well, and granted, in 2014, as we've referenced, they were 48-50 and they did make a run. But we were talking before we started recording, it doesn't feel like the same kind of team. It doesn't feel like that jump is going to happen. Now I'm trying to remember what it felt like back then. And I remember people were talking about, hey, you need to trade James Shields. We need to sell and work to 2015. And then the Royals went on a run. But it still doesn't feel like that kind of team. And I don't know if that's because all the injuries, and right now you're short Moustakas and you're short Lorenzo Cain, and you've got Whit Merrifield at second, who's still needs to adjust to the league, adjusting to him after his hot start. You've got Orlando, who's done well at most of the time, but he's also had some pretty big stretches where he's kind of lost. It's just a weird group, and I don't know if it's going to work out that they can make that kind of a run again. It's, especially when they're trying to catch Cleveland, who, with the amount of starting pitching, even if they regress, I think Cleveland has like 5 of the top 27 starters in baseball. Just like
their starting pitching is really.
I mean, it's good top to bottom. And they've got guys like Lindor, and Napoli's having a great year, and Kipnis is doing well, and Tyler Naquin is putting himself in the running for Rookie of the Year. Granted, it's like half his home runs have come against the Royals, but he hit the home runs, so they still count. And it just looks like Cleveland is a really tough team to beat right now. And I put in our baseball prospectus chat earlier today. I was like, it would be tough to see the Royals make the comeback if you swapped rotations even. Like, if the Indians had the Royals rotation, they wouldn't be – I mean, obviously, they wouldn't – I don't think you'd see them be drastically better, but it just seems like they would be able to weather it from this point out maybe better, and the Royals would still have to have one of those big hot streaks. And granted, you can go on one of those. We saw Cleveland go on a 14-game winning streak, but their offense is a little more complete than the Royals, at least from, you know, they're scoring almost 5 runs a game. They've got power hitters. They have guys who can get walks. They have guys who can steal bases. They're not quite the contact team that the Royals are, but, you know, it's when you have the other elements, I don't think you always have to be. And the Royals really have to have everything going for them offensively to get runs across the board, because they don't have the power and they don't have the walks. And so, you know, it's different elements, but I think Cleveland's mix seems to be more consistent with the way things work, and especially with how there are so many more home runs this year than in previous years. You know, their model is working right now, and the Royals doesn't really fit. And that's going to make it difficult to come back from this stage, especially when you've got a starting rotation that is struggling most nights and, you know, inconsistent. Your best starter is a guy who started in the bullpen. You'd have no idea who's going to be your fifth starter week to week. It's just kind of it's kind of chaos at the moment. They just don't seem to know what they want to do. And, you know, until it would basically take all of the starters getting hot at the same time and going on like a 3-week stretch where they're good and the Royals can stay in games. And that's what it would take for them to get back into it. And you'd still have to have Cleveland losing games at that point. And asking Cleveland to lose games looks pretty difficult because they're playing pretty well.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, at this point, the Royals are not going to go on a big enough tear, and the Indians are not going to play poor enough to catch them that that way. I mean, they have to have the Indians lose a lot of games, and it's just not going to happen. So, I mean,
I'm afraid not. But I mean, I bet we said a lot of the same things in 2014. And while the Royals did make that comeback and were, you know, had a shot at the division down to the last day, that Detroit team seemed a lot more flawed for the talent that they had. The Royals had some kind of a magic to them. And I don't think that, you know, it's something that really works as a comparison, because, you know, it was almost
a different climate. It's just, there's so much different about this year.
Yeah, it was almost an unprecedented kind of run where the Royals just, every time they were starting to drift, something happened. It went right, and they carried it to, you know, have a tie-in run on third base in the World Series. So I don't know. Well, I mean, it's a weird spot to be in, where the Royals have been winning the last 3 years, won the World Series, and now you kind of have to get back to that thing of like, oh yeah, you have to lose. It's like, I'm not used to my team playing this poorly at this stage in the season. Even though it was only a few years, you know, 2012, it was only a few years, but it's still like, oh yeah, this again.
Yeah, this is what it feels like. You know, it's just, it's rough, and you start asking what can be done here? You know, where can the Royals get some help? And their biggest area of need here, it's offensively, I really don't know what more could be done, to get help. There's two options for every answer, right? You either have somebody in the farm system that can come up and help, or you can trade. And yep. we'll talk about trade options in the second segment. So if we talk about pitching help, you know, then in terms of minor leagues, the only possible solution that you kind of had going in your head going into the year was a possible Kyle Zimmer, and we've kind of nixed that. But now we just received word this week Kyle Zimmer is having thoracic outlet syndrome, and he will be having surgery on this. And I heard Jeff Passan on the radio, who's very knowledgeable about these sort of things, and he was very familiar with this injury. And he said he calls it the quote-unquote Adam surgery because it actually involves removing a rib, because I guess there's a rib that it starts poking into like a nerve or something, and it ends up cutting blood flow off to your shoulder and your arm, and sounds horrifically painful. so that's what's happening to Kyle Zimmer. Chris Young had the same one. Matt Harvey, I know that he was diagnosed with that. Has he had the surgery yet? I think he's having it.
I don't know if he's had it, but
I wasn't sure if he's had it yet.
It's happening. He's definitely shut down for the year.
Yeah, he got the same diagnosis, and so I mean, there's a possible off chance that this has been it the whole time with Kyle Zimmer, and he gets this, and he gets fixed, and he has a fruitful major league career. I would put that at the best I can give you for odds on that actually occurring. Right. Is a non-zero chance. That's the best I can.
It's still possible, but
yes, in the realm of things that could happen, this is one of them. Like the likelihood is that this might be the swan song for Kyle Zimmer. I would be surprised if we ever see him in the major leagues, to be honest. I'm just going to throw that out there, but that it brings together this bigger. It brings to light a bigger piece of the picture here, and it's something we haven't talked about for a couple of years because the Royals have been winning and they've been doing it, but their inability to develop young pitching has really hurt them. And I'm conflicted on this because in one way it's like, okay, you can say that, and it's kind of accurate in this season, but on the other hand, is it really that accurate to say when you look – okay, the Royals traded 5 pitchers away last year, all of which who could be in the majors this year. You know, I mean, like in terms of the Royals having Chris Young, needing a replacement for him, you know, you could have Brandon Finnegan be a replacement, who would be better than Chris Young, even though he hasn't been very good. Cody Reed could probably be a replacement. You know, Sean Manaea could be a replacement. John Lamb could be a replacement. All these pitchers could be replacements for Chris Young right now. Is that 5th spot in the rotation, even though they haven't been good, but
they haven't been disastrous.
All those guys are away, and there is a good chance that of those 4 that I mentioned, at least one is probably going to have a decent major league career, if not a pretty good one. You know, Cody Reed might be the best bet for that. I would think, just kind of from what I know, Cody Reed or Sean Manaea might be the two most likely to have a good major league career. But so then you say, okay, even if you have those 4 pitchers, say they went on to have 10-year careers that were, you know, between the 4 of them, you know, none of them having a no worse than average career. Bruce Chen-like career, it's like, well, then how much credit do you give the Royals in terms of pitching development if that happens? You know, those guys just don't happen to be here right now. So you kind of struggle with it, I think, a little bit in terms of saying the Royals, going back to the Royals being bad at pitching development. But regardless, can't dwell on it now. They traded those guys away, planning on what they had, Miguel Almonte, Kyle Zimmer, possibly helping this season. Miguel Almonte has fallen flat and
really struggled
for the season. So it's like, man, it really has brought to light how bare pitching wise the system is.
Yeah, I mean, the only guys they've really developed to any level have been Ventura and Duffy, and we've seen the struggles that Ventura has had and the inconsistencies. He's, you know, really had one good year You know, he's had some big games and big moments, but you know, they felt comfortable enough to give him the extension, but it's not like he's been lights out. He's usually been bad more than he's been good. And Duffy's been such an enigma for so many different seasons, you know, where it's either an injury thing or it's a control thing or it's, you know, pitch counts and this and that. And now he's finally seeming to get everything together at the same time. And there's not really anything else around them. And so you look at the Royals, those are their 2 best in-house guys. You know, they've traded the others. And I think that any of those guys, you know, Lamb, Finnegan, Reed, Manaea, they could be average guys right now. And there's value in that. And down the line, I think any of them could be pretty good. Lamb, I would say, you know, not really thinking that he's going to develop into much of anything. But still, he'd be a likely better option than Young in a lot of ways. So I think the Royals do get credit for being able to develop guys that they could trade for Ben Zobrist and Johnny Cueto. But at the same time, it's like, you know, they don't have the guys to bring up to fill in. I mean, they thought they did, but Zimmer, you know, setback after setback. Almonte has had a rough year. Guys like Christian Benford really haven't been very great. The best guys that have been pitching in the system have been Alec Mills and Jake Junis, and neither of them really seem like guys that are going to be difference makers. They seem like the kind of guy you might have to fill in the fifth spot for a DL stint or something like that. You know, and maybe that may be underselling them because they both have improved a lot this year, but it's still one of those deals where you don't feel that they're reliable. I mean, Mills could have been called up for this start that Flynn made just as easily as it would have been to have Flynn started. The days matched up. Mills has pitched pretty well all season, but you know, I think he walked a few more guys than usual in his start before, and so the Royals, maybe if he was an option, that backed them off of it. But, you know, right now, if somebody else got hurt right now, you would move Flynn into that spot or Young and just hope, or Dylan G or whatever. I mean, those are the questions the Royals have to answer, and they don't have Zimmer or Almonte doing anything. Almonte's probably going to get, you know, full-time bullpen usage from here on. You know, you have those guys you traded away. They're not around. You know, and the guys that they've drafted in the last couple of years, you know, Nolan Watson and Ash Russell, neither of them are really doing anything in the minors either. Scott Blewett, you know, he's been up and down, and it's just tough. And while, yeah, pitching development is tough, you know, the Royals' track record for it is pretty poor. And, you know, that's where they end up, where they have to go trade for Johnny Cueto, where they have to go sign Ian Kennedy, and where they have to sign Enson Volquez, because they don't have those middle rotation guys in their own system, or they don't feel reliable, you know? So it's just, they're stuck. And right now they're stuck with Kennedy and Volquez, who you don't, I don't know. I think Volquez has pitched better his last few starts, but there's still always that specter of that really bad start against Houston hanging over him. Kennedy, you know, the thing was, he's home run prone, and he gave up what, four more today, five more. I mean, and he's pitched well. He's striking a lot of guys out, and he's generally
before today, he had an ERA below four. I mean, he wasn't.
Yeah. Despite all the homers, it's just that, you know, that's the kind of edge that they're on right now, is that they're right there, you know, arms to the side, trying to balance, trying to stay up, and it's the slightest thing can send them teetering over the edge. And if it's going to be that, it's going to be something in the rotation that really does it, because they don't have the depth and they don't have the talent there that other teams do, and they don't have the guys that they expected to have. And it's setting them up for some disappointment. Now, if they turn it around, I mean, we saw Kennedy and Volquez pitch really well in April. We've seen Duffy pitch really well. We've seen Ventura pitch well. If they can all get it going, you can kind of fill in with whoever in that fifth spot. If you know that you're going to get four average outings the rest of the time, and three of those might be very good. But right now it's like you're kind of counting on Duffy to be your good one, and you hope for the others. And as we've talked about on here and in previous shows, hoping is not a strategy. And the Royals right now don't seem to have an answer.
No, they most certainly do not. And I don't know if we have any answers either. It's unfortunate, man. It's just a rough.
Don't have answers. No,
it's a rough spot to be in. And we mentioned their second option here is some trades. So we're going to take a quick break here, and then when we come back on the other side, stick with us. We'll talk about our friend David Leske on BP Kansas City made up a list of some of the pitchers that the Royals could possibly target. So we're going to take a look at that and talk about, outside of that, whether or not the Royals even should go after one of these pitchers. So stick with us, and we'll have that discussion when we get back.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Among the laborers at Royal Stadium is a sheet metal worker who dreams of playing here. This unlikely dream was given wing when Frank White passed a tryout for Ewing Kauffman's new baseball academy.
The Vault.
Hi, this is Ned Baudette for Kelly's Westport Inn. Summertime is here, and that means one thing. Your neighbor's cat sneaks over and craps in your garden. No, of course, I'm just joking. Summer also means my neighbor borrowing your boat trailer and driving it into Smithville Lake, or mosquitoes, or your three-year-old drinking the air conditioner water. Haha, I guess what I'm saying here is that summer means different things to different people. And for 65 years, Kelly's Westport Inn has been a vacation for those summer problems ever since Randall Kelly poured his first frosty draft in 1947. 102 degrees and 99% humidity? Don't worry, Kelly's is air conditioned, and the drinks are as cold as ice. And when the heat breaks, Randall's Rooftop is ready for you to kick back, where you can head downstairs for some of the best live music in town. Summer is different things to different people, but to everyone in Kansas City, Kelly's Westport is your summertime bar. I'm Ned Baudette for Kelly's Westport Inn. We'll leave the taps on for you.
Back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn, Baseball Prospectus affiliate. If you were with us in the first half, we talked about the unfortunate situation the Royals are in, the fact that they have no help coming out from the minor leagues, and their only option at this point that's viable to help them improve their team through additional players is to make a trade. So first, we can go over some possible trade targets. It doesn't seem like they have enough, and Mike, you had mentioned this to me, that they don't have enough to get two players like they did last year, to get the Cueto and the Zobrist. You know, I don't think they have enough to get either one individually, because those were really high caliber players, but just theoretically speaking, to get a position player and a pitcher, I don't think they have enough to do it. I think your assessment was dead on that. So they're probably going to have to target one or the other, and pitching seems most likely. Just because even though the offense has been terrible, you know, there's still room to improve on the offense. I don't know that there's a ton of room to improve in pitching right now from the players that are there. So seeing an outside pitcher makes the most sense. So some of I'll throw some names out, Mike, and then you can kind of pick one and we can start from there. So some of the names that David Lesky, if you want more information on this stuff, and we're not going to talk about every name that he put on there, so if you want to hear some more names and see some more analysis, go to bpkansascity.com, and Dave Lesky has an article on the front page. He actually wrote one as well for position players that the Royals could target as trades. So some of the names, Mike, I'm going to throw out to you. We got Jorge De La Rosa on here. We've got Jeremy Hellickson, Matt Moore, Rich Hill, Drew Smyly. Just from those right there, who interests you? Who do you think is a possibility? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't like De La Rosa at all. And that's probably, he's
the once in future Royal, perhaps?
Yeah, that's back in like 2007, I had a partial season ticket package. And I swear to God, every single game, it was either a start by Odalis Perez or Jorge De La Rosa. Oh, literally every time. And it was just like, I think maybe at the end of the year, there was Hoch Aver may have started a game late. I might be remembering that wrong. That's a good season to forget. A lot of those seasons were good ones to forget.
So
I don't want him. And really, when I'm thinking about these lists, you know, if the Royals were a game behind Cleveland, I would probably be more open to going after guys who are going to be free agents. So De La Rosa is one of those guys. Hellickson is one of those guys. Rich Hill is one of those guys. They're all going to be free agents after this year. Hill, I don't trust him. He's the biggest name. We talked a little bit about this last week. He's the biggest name out there, I think. I don't see any team really trusting him enough for his injury history, for as, you know, sudden his resurgence has been. I don't see anybody really doing a lot for him, but you could be wrong. Drew Pomeranz went for a top 20 prospect last week. So it's possible that, you know, right now there's so little pitching available, and so many teams still want a pitcher. You could have the Indians could be looking for a starter just because, you know, they're the Indians, and teams always want pitching this time of year. So, you know, if there's a limited amount of pitchers, you know, you're still going to be looking at the relative cost of them, because, hey, if Rich Hill's the best pitcher on the market, if you want the best pitcher on the market, you're going to have to pay some prospects. Now, last year it was David Price and Johnny Cueto and Cole Hamels and guys we kind of covered a little bit in previous shows. Those guys aren't out there this year. So Rich Hill's, these are the guys who are going to be it. So when I'm looking at it, I like a guy like Matt Moore. He's got three option years after this season. I don't recall if they're player or team options or mutual or what. But that's a guy that I could definitely see. He would help you right now. He would help you today. The Rays have lost like 25 of 30 or something like that. Moore's been good. He's, you know, he's still young. He's, like I said, he can help right now. He could probably slot ahead of, I don't know, where would I put him? Maybe fourth or fifth in the rotation pretty easily.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got him for future seasons. I mean, you look at next year, Edinson Volquez, team has a mutual option on him that's probably not going to be exercised. You know, he'll probably be a free agent. Either one or the other will decline it. So the Royals are going to need pitching next year. They'll get Vargas back, but who knows how he's going to respond after Tommy John surgery. You know, there's no guarantee that he's going to be any good. There's no guarantee the same guys we talked about in the first segment in the minor leagues aren't necessarily going to be any good. So you're going to have Kennedy, Duffy, and Ventura, and maybe Vargas, maybe Mike Minor. You know, those are the guys. That's what you're looking
Mike at. Mike Minor. Oh, man. That's when you know you're in trouble there.
Yeah, when people are asking, when's Mike Minor going to be ready? And, like, when, oof, hey, he's back on rehab. That's tough, because he got hammered when he was pitching in the minors. But
yeah, it wasn't pretty.
But that's the kind of thing that I would be looking at if I were the Royals. I'd be looking at guys who can help me this year and in future years. And granted, that's also going to cost you more, because, you know, part of the reason teams are selling Rich Hills and whatnot are because they're going to be free agents, and you want to trade them now to get something for them versus losing them for nothing or whatever the compensation turns out to be. And so a guy like Moore, probably going to be tough to get, but if the Royals can swing it, if the Rays are really looking to rebuild and they want to move some money, I think the Royals should oblige. I think they should help them out. And a guy like Jake Odorizzi is on Lessee's list, and I think the Rays pretty much are willing to part with any of those guys except for Chris Archer. And that's probably the right approach for them. And if that helps a team like the Royals, well, I think they should try to see what they can do. I don't know if they have the guns to do it, but it's something that I would be exploring if I were them. You know, these guys with other years and other years of team control versus someone who's just going to be a free agent. Because then the problem is, you know, let's say you trade Alec Mills to get Rich Hill, or I don't even think that would do it, but let's say you do that. Well, now Rich Hill's a free agent after this year. Maybe the Royals, it doesn't help them enough. They don't make the playoffs. Maybe he's bad in half his starts, like Johnny Cueto was last year after they traded for him. And now you're left without Alec Mills too. So one of the guys that you kind of felt like you might be able to slot in for some innings next year or maybe late this year, now he's gone. And the Royals are even in even worse shape. And, you know, it just exacerbates the problem. It just means you've still got less pitching and less pitching depth. And so, you know, those are the guys I would be thinking about. You know, some other guys, Lesky mentioned, like Ervin Santana, he's expensive, but the Twins could probably sell him for nothing, you know, as long as the team's willing to take on the money. And he's got two more years on his contract. So I think that's the kind of guy that, if you wanted a veteran, he would be a fine fill-in, as opposed to any of these free agents who are really going to be kind of difficult to to get and really do anything with this year, and you lose them next year. So that's my approach, is looking at guys who you can still have after this season who, you know, aren't just desperate. Like, you know, I think Smiley's a little bit desperate. De La Rosa feels a little bit desperate. So
yes, he does. Well, I think you make a really good point when talking about, you know, what you give up has to be commensurate from a, you know, forward-looking perspective. Because, you know, even if the Royals last year hadn't won the World Series, the Cueto and Zobrist moves still made sense. You know, like you could – it would sting a lot more that they didn't win the World Series and now they don't have the players they gave up for them. But had that happened, you know, you could still at least be like, okay, the Royals were the best team in the American League. They had the best record in the American League. They knew they had a chance. They went for it. They did what they could. You can't fault them for it, you know. So that would have been – again, it would have been harder to stomach, but you could have at least you could see the reasoning and you wouldn't have felt necessarily all that bad about it. But this year, if you give up anything – they're not going to give – you know, they're not going to get the same player back, so they're obviously not going to give up the same return. But depending on a return that you give up – you know, what you get back, if you miss the playoffs completely, you know, you can be like, okay, well, now we no longer have, you know, Raul Mondesi or whatever. And, you know, yeah, it was great to get Matt Moore for – or not Matt Moore. You know, great to get Rich Hill. I don't think it would – the Royals would do that. But just as an example, you know, it's great to get this person for a half season, but they did miss the playoffs by 5 games. And – now you're out of prospect, and this person's going to be a free agent. This player's going to be a free agent. So, you know, you can look back at that and say that was ill-advised. That was. So yeah, I just don't think it would be the right move for this team right now to trade away in any way valuable pieces to try and go for it. You know, I've kind of heard that the Royals are just really intent on this window here, but you know, it's regardless of how much you want to win in this window, if we can call it the 2013 to 2017 window, you know, you've still got one more year left of it. So you don't want to sacrifice too much of 2017 just for the sake of 2016 when you already have a good idea how 2016 is going to play out, because you don't know 2017. Moustakas is going to be back. Gordon gets a fresh start. Morales might not be back, but you know, so many different things. Kane might not get hurt. Perez might not get hurt. You know, Vargas could be back, and it's just so many different things can happen that make 2017 a lot better than 2018. So, I'm sorry, 2017 a lot better than 2016. So it's just you can't. I don't know. God, I'm doing terrible with the phrases here. I'm trying to think of
sell the farm to just get whatever and just make it through. I mean, there'd be a level of like desperation to it, I think. And there's, you know,
desperation's the perfect word.
There's no harm in like taking that half step back. I mean, you look at what Detroit did last year. They got to a point, they had been hurt by injuries, they weren't performing very well. And they traded guys off. They traded Cespedes, and they got Michael Fulmer, who is pitching great. And they traded David Price, and they got Matt Boyd, one of the guys they got back,
mm-hmm.
and someone else. But I mean, they got some good arms, and they went out and they signed Justin Upton and Jordan Zimmermann, and right now they're ahead of the Royals. They're just a few games out of the wild card, and. You know, if things work out, maybe they've got a shot to actually make some noise. I mean, I think they'll fade, but you know, they seem to have regrouped a little bit, and it gave them they have the opportunity at this stage. You know, it's not just like they sold and did a full reboot. It's just they sold off the pieces, and I don't think the Royals would do that. And I think the Tigers were in a much worse spot last year than where the Royals are now. And so it was a little more clear that, okay, it's not happening this year. But you know, that also, I'm trying to remember it now. I feel like they were there and then like a week later they were selling. So maybe that's kind of the same spot as the Royals, but I don't know. It seems like right now the Royals need either like a 9-game winning streak or a 9-game losing streak. And then we can see what they do. Because I think a guy like, you know, I'm not really advocating for this because I want to see them continue to try, but I think like Edinson Volquez would probably get a pretty good, he'd get something, you know, it might not be like your top 10 prospect from a team, but it might be like a top 20, a guy who's interesting. And, you know, the Royals could use that. If it's someone in AA, they may be available to help next year. And then you've got them beyond that. You know, so that's one option. But I also think that if the Royals are going to be making a move, it's probably in their best interest to go after a pitcher who can help them beyond this year, unless it's something where you're literally just giving up a nobody for, you know, let's say Jorge De La Rosa, and they just want to get rid of him and move him. Okay, fine. You can take him, but I wouldn't want to trade anybody of any significance just to get one of those guys who are going to be free agents. And also, the way the compensation is set up this year, if you're traded mid-season, you can't be extended a qualifying offer. So the Royals wouldn't get any kind of compensation when that player signs with another team. So it's not even like the same thing where Volquez is going to be free agent after this year. They make him qualify an offer, which they wouldn't do that because the qualifying offer would be higher than his option. But, you know, that's how you get your compensation right now. And the Royals wouldn't get it if they traded for a guy and they became a free agent. And I think that has to factor in too, because it's the same kind of thing. You don't want to be left empty handed where you're out this prospect, even if it's a nobody, plus the payroll, plus, you know, no compensation coming back just to finish third. It's just not an equation that I think the Royals are interested in. And what they did last year was they had to add in extra players. They added Cody Reed and they added Aaron Brooks into the respective deals just to get salary relief for Cueto and Zobrist. And so if you're looking at that, that's probably one of the things they'd have to do this year if they don't want to take on payroll. So they're in a really weird spot where they really need some help. And I don't know that they have the resources available to go get that help unless it's an absolutely right situation where, like, the Twins just want to move Ervin Santana and they're willing to take on the money. And that's probably the – if they're going to do anything, it's probably going to be either something like that or something very small, which probably won't be enough.
Yeah, I mean, because what was in 2014, the only move they made was Josh Willingham basically, right?
Yeah,
am I missing anything? I mean, that was kinda,
really it,
and that was a waiver deal. That wasn't even a trade deadline thing. So
yeah, that was in like August 11th was that day. I remember I was driving up to Kauffman. That was the day the Royals took over first. Briefly, I was in the parking lot when they announced it.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, if it was something like that, I suppose you could, you know, obviously that wasn't a huge deal. I guess. You know, Jason Adam was a fine prospect, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't things that a farm system were built on.
Right.
So it's, you know, if you can make a move like that and you think maybe it makes, I mean, Josh Willingham isn't necessarily the best example because he didn't have an impact, but if there's a small move you can make that might help, then, you know, maybe. But I mean, the one thing it seems the Royals are missing this year is, you know, getting that, the rah-rah guy. You know, there was 2014, they picked up Raul Ibanez and he told them everybody's afraid of you guys because you're so good and you just don't know it. And then they won they went to the World Series. And then
you give them the swingers conversation.
Yep. You're so
you
money.
Guys are so money. And then, you don't even know it.
And then Johnny Gomes came in last year for the stretch run and gave the speech at the parade. And we won't talk about the national travesty that is Johnny Gomes not being invited to the White House so he can wear his American flag suit. But we will say that he was definitely that rah-rah guy. Also, who's that guy this year? The Royals don't have him. We found it, Mike, the missing piece.
We need a rah-rah guy. Who's a rah-rah guy?
Who's a good – I mean, is Jorge De La Rosa? What's his persona? I don't even remember what he was like.
I think he's a rah-rah guy.
He fit the mold of former Royal, though, for the Raul Ibanez role, but – I don't know. Is there a...
Ervin Santana's too chill.
Too chill?
I don't know. I don't think there is. There was a rumored deal of a potential Luco Chaver for Carlos Beltran deal out there.
Oh, that's right. I did hear that.
That kind of... I heard it after the fact, and I don't know how close it really was, but I don't know if he'd be a rah-rah guy either. He's never really come across to me as that kind of guy, but that would certainly have been interesting. To see happen, considering that, you know, Carlos Beltran, who the Royals almost signed a couple of years ago anyway, but
it's one of my vindictive sports fan within myself. That's one of those moments where I truly feel the most vindictive. I like Carlos Beltran a lot. I have nothing against him, but just so funny to me that it was before 2014 and he went to the Yankees because he thought he would have a better chance at making a World Series, and the Royals have made the World Series twice and won one in the time because they were hoping for a two-year contract. So
yeah,
that's beside the point.
That would have been interesting,
the point.
But I don't know if he's much of a rah-rah guy. I just don't know.
I don't think so either. I don't think he is. So
I don't know if that guy's out there.
I don't know who's out there that's that would be available. I don't know.
I mean, it's basically, and that's the other thing. They're kind of missing Moose, who's kind of filled that role. And for whatever, you know, whatever value it gives on the intangibles, I mean, it is something that can help. I don't think it's like a 5-win difference. I think it's like, you know, maybe you don't lose by 5 every night. You only lose by 2. And maybe that turns the tide one other game because your guys aren't completely in the doldrums. But
yeah, I mean, I think there is a little bit of something to that. I mean, there's, and we kind of talked about this off show a little bit, but there, in terms of You know, one of the things that makes the Royals look so different this year is just mentally they look different. You know, we've kind of talked about it before, but the mentality of the Royals was such that, you know, they looked mentally stronger and more mentally prepared to go through a baseball game than every team they played over the last two seasons. And that has made a big impact, you know, but now, you know, and it's necessarily, you know, they don't look that same way from a mental standpoint. It's hard to like say, oh, I can see what their mental state is. You know, it's hard to judge something like that. So this is kind of just me, just from my collective seeing them over the amount of times I've seen them this year. And, you know, it's understandable, really, because you look at it and you say, okay, you know, they're down 1-0 after the first inning. And then when that happens, so many, 6 out of the last seven games, they've given up a run in the first inning. It's like, oh man, again, you know, it's just, you can't catch a break. You can't catch their breath. They're always coming from behind, always down really early in the games. That stuff wears on you. And, you know, it's tough. So it's just that there might be something to that, you know, and that could be, maybe if they're going to make a move, that's the move to look out for. But you know the Royals are in a sad situation when we're trying to rack our brains to find the rah-rah guy who would be perfect to get this team back on track, a la Raul Ibanez.
Yeah.
So you're trying to find a replacement for a 40-year-old Raul Ibanez. You've got some issues.
There generally are not a lot of those types out there. For reasons.
For many, many reasons.
Yeah.
All right, so with that, I think we'll wrap up the show here. The
pity party.
Pity party, yeah.
For 500. I mean, how many years would we have just been thrilled to be 500?
Oh, absolutely.
But expectations, man, they are cruel.
They are cruel. So next week at this time when we have our show, we will have a much clearer picture of the Royals and their trade situation, what they're targeting to do, stand still, make a trade, whatever. And then by the time the next show after that, we'll have the answer, because the trade deadline will have come and gone. So stick with us. You know, hopefully we've got, I'm not sure what I want to happen for the Royals, to be honest right now, but I definitely want them to win more games, but I'm not sure what I want to happen in terms of their trade, making a trade or not. But hopefully we have a little bit more fun things to discuss. We didn't even talk about the Jerod Dyson Grand Slam home run. I guess that would have been fun.
But, yeah.
You know,
if they'd won more than one game against Cleveland, maybe.
Sandwiched in between all the losses, it doesn't seem as cool as it was when it happened. So what are you going to do? Hopefully we have more next week, but regardless of whether this roller coaster is on an up or a down, we will be here. We will be talking about them. So stick with us here in the Kansas City Baseball Vault. For Michael Engel, myself, Jeff Herr, this has been the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport and a Baseball Perspectives affiliate. Thank you all so much for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We will see you all next time, and as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com.